The following talk was recorded at Libra Planet 2023, Charting the Course, an annual conference on current issues in ethics, social justice, and technology from the Free Software Foundation. Libra Planet is a live conference, and speakers often use slides and other visual tools to assist their presentation. You can see the videos of these talks at media.libraplanet.org or on the FSF PeerTube channel. Libra Planet speakers do not represent the mission of the Free Software Foundation. We host speakers talking about their uses of free software in different kinds of political and commercial work. The FSF supports their freedom, but does not take a position on any political issues other than those necessary to uphold the principles of free software. Like all the FSF's work on behalf of the freedom of all computer users, Libra Planet is made possible by thousands of individuals. To keep our work going, please consider becoming an associate member via my.fsf.org/join. or by making a donation at my.fsf.org/donate. You can stay informed by subscribing to our newsletter, The Free Software Supporter, at fsf.org/fss. For more information on Libra Planet, please visit libraplanet.org/conference.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sebastian, I'm from Argentina, and I'm here to talk about Thaler. First, thanks for all putting an effort to make this conference live and also presence. It's very nice to be here. So I want to tell you about Thaler. Now that I'm here talking in the United States, I want to put some context in this talk. And let's first talk about U.S. Trying to digitalize the dollar. So what is new Thaler is a payment system, and it's a free software payment system. And have you ever used a digital payment system here in the United States? Raise your hands if you have used it. So I assume that everyone of you have used some way of digital money. But you know the difference that if you use a credit card or a debit card, you always have your name on it. And if you use cash, you can use this anonymously, and that's nice because you are not being tracked by anyone of how you spend money. So put it in some context, there is a project trying to move all our people's payment into a digital way. So. This is, I don't know if it is good or bad. I think that if there is not open source here related with this digital project, it is will not so nice. We have been talking about education and how education is trapped without free software. So I think this is an alarm to have, yeah, to pay attention and to track and to do something before someone takes action, yeah, because we want open source, free software in every world, in every place. So, what is GNU Thaler? Does someone know what is GNU Thaler? Has someone seen GNU Thaler? Oh, I see a hand here. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Does someone know what the T A L E R means? I have a present for the one who said the letters. Okay, Thaler means for taxable, anonymous, libre, electronic, and dear, I don't remember. But that's nice. The nice part is it is libre, free software. Yeah, it has an anonymity feature that's really nice because I'm not being tracked by the one who's running the exchange, the one who's allowed me to pay digitally. And I'm going to show you an example of that. And there is a big difference. We use cryptography to allow this anonymity, but this is not a cryptocurrency. I want to erase from your thoughts that we are talking a cryptocurrency. It's really easy to confuse. And then in the end, we are going to talk about the components that make a big picture of Thaler. So, let's talk about the difference between having an account system and a token-based system. So I want to, have you ever used cash? Yes, you know what cash is. And have you ever used a ledger book? So it's a book where you say, Alice paid to Bob this amount and someone has to pay back. So this has the names and the balance, and the digital part of that is the bank systems and the cryptocurrency system where you have, where I have my balance. If I want to use my my money from there, I need the permission of the bank, I need the permission of the cryptocurrency, and I have my credentials to access that account. The difference with Thaler is that it's more closer to the cash system. I have a wallet, but the thing that I have in my wallet is a magic number, thank you for this reference, is a magic number that is signed by the exchange. So when the exchange see this magic number again, it will know that it's valid. It's a valid currency, it's a valid cash. So if I have this magic number in my wallet and I lost my wallet, what is going to happen? It's gone. Yeah, who said that? Here, an alfajor from Argentina. So that's very important to have in mind because it's very different from cryptocurrency. The exchange is always used without having an account, so there is no way to people who has access to the database of the exchange to know who is using that. And there is one more thing. If let's say that the exchange give me the token, and I have the token back, what's the problem that this could have? If I know the number that I'm giving you, when I have the number back, I know when you withdraw, I know where you are spending. So this has this work is over the top of, I don't know if you know David Chaum's work about blind signature. So what the exchange and the wallet does is a protocol that lets you, let's say that blind signature is like, you give me the token, I'm going to sign it without knowing what I'm signing below. So the wallet will have the coin, the exchange will not know the coin, it didn't saw the coin in any moment, and in going, when the coin is going back to make a deposit, it will know that it signed it from the exchange, but it doesn't know when it was withdrawn. So that gives me the privacy of without, to not being tracked by the exchange, you know? Are you following me? Do you want to say that again? The coins are fungible. That means that every time I'm using the coins, this spent coin cannot be used again. So that will leave me also the feature that that I don't have in Bitcoin, for example, that an account can be used multiple times, and I'm trying to able to see where it's going to be spent. That account, I can track the activity of that account. And there is also more related to privacy that I can talk later. But there's so many things to talk about, Thaler. It's so big project that these 40 minutes is not going to be enough to tell you about everything. And one thing that I want with this talk is that you will be able to know how to create one system of Thaler and to use it. And this will give me the possibility for you to give us feedback about using the system, you know, using the wallet, trying to install it, trying to use it here in the United States, try to make things happen. So, which are the components of running a Thaler system? First, I will have the exchange. The exchange is the one who is going to receive money and give me the Thaler tokens. And if the exchange has USD in the back, it's going to give me value-based token that's referred to the money that it is using in the bank. So if a wallet wants to have Thaler tokens, it will ask the exchange, hey, I want to withdraw coins. I'm going to use this protocol to have the coins. And then we will find a merchant, that merchant that needs to accept these coins. We have these services also. These are three components in, that you can find in the Git repository. That is also a web services. We call the merchant backend. And you will find the wallet is going to talk to the merchant again. It's going to say, send me a ticket. This ticket is a JSON with a contract that says I'm going to give you, I don't know, an alfajor, Argentina alfajor, or maybe some other services. What?
Like an invoice?
Yeah, like an invoice, yes. But this JSON has the service, the description of the services that it's going to give given if you are going to pay. So it's like more like a receipt or a ticket. So the description that you have there is for the ticket. We have something related to an invoice in other place. That's why I wanted to make the difference. What the wallet is going to do here, so it's going to have these coins, and these coins are magic numbers that are signed by the exchange, and it's going to send the coins to the merchant and sign the ticket with the coins. So the exchange is going to receive the tickets and the coins, and the exchange needs to wire transfer the cash again to the merchant account. So the merchant didn't know anything about the user of the wallet because it doesn't need to create an account. Yeah? And the exchange will see the ticket and the coins. And that is also nice because the merchant cannot avoid paying taxes about the services it's giving. It's not the wallet user who is going to be identified, it's the merchant. So here I have a better picture with a lot of drawing. When you see the customer bank account, because what we want from the exchange is to connect it to the current bank system and to use the wire transfer in the back to make work the exchange. So when the user wants some Teller coins, he's going to send a wire transfer to the exchange bank account, and the exchange will know that it's going to give the coins to the wallet. Then here we see the payment of to the merchant. And when the merchant wants the deposit, it can be an aggregate deposit also, because you are going to sell a lot of product during the day. The exchange then is going to wire transfer back to the merchant again. And here you see the redirections. Here we see fees because since the exchange works anonymously, it can charge fees in operations that are very hard or very expensive in CPU or database. So it can be also like it's going to pay itself for the usage. And also, since it's anonymously, you have to think of the denial of services attacks. So if you are going to see, if you have a wallet that's going to, for example, query some endpoint that's very expensive, you need to, if that takes money, it's very hard to make a denial of service attack in that way. But if you have very low fees, that's something that you can configure depending on the environment that you are deploying. All good here? Any question? Yeah, of course.
Can you repeat the question too for the audience?
Okay, can you run your own exchange? Yes, free software. I am going to show you how to install an exchange with a demo. We have we want to connect this to the bank system I said, and we are emulating the bank system with all its deficiencies, I say, with all their problems. For that, we have a protocol that is called UBU FIM because this is first trying to be connected to the European bank system, and it has a protocol that is called EVIX. So you are going to see that, but it's not important for these parts that maybe is more related to what we care about. If we want to connect to the US central bank system, we need to replace that with something more related to the US. So yes, you can run your exchange, you are going to see how. So I talk about these components. This is the big picture of what we talked recently, the bank, which has the account states. I can say that if you connect Tyler to other thing that doesn't have an account, let's say, for example, I'm running an exchange and accept your physically your cash and I'm going to give you the token, that's also work. Of course, it's not as you need a human there. We talk about the exchange that converts fiat currency into tokens. The wallet who withdraw, spend in a merchant, and make deposit of the coin that has in their wallet. We also have some other features like, for example, invoicing other wallets. So you can get tokens without doing a withdrawal. You ask another wallet to send you the coins. And we talk about the merchant. The merchant is a component that we had the merchant backend, the merchant back office that lets you create orders, to have a product stock, to a lot of features that a merchant needs to run into a teller system. So I think we are good with the time. I had some screencasts. I think we are able to see this. Let me find the mouse. Okay, here it is. So this is going to take us 3 minutes, but I can stop whenever you think it is important. First, the thing we are going to do here is install. This is start from Debian, like from scratch, and this script is in the Git repository of Teller. So first, we are going to install some basic tools like Beam, etc. Then we are going to install POSIX. Everything Teller is running with a normal database in the back. We are using Postgres. I think that this installation also created the database, but I wanted to show you explicitly that we have 5 databases: Auditor, Exchange, Merchant, and these 2 are from the bank system. After that, we install the packages from Debian repository, the Viewfin, Sandbox, Nexus. I'm going to explain that in a little bit. All of them come with an Nginx configuration. We are going to replace here, because they are going to be exposed like localhost. I want it to be exposed like Bank.Teller, Auditor.Teller, and Exchange. After that, the script is going to start Nginx, and we are going to start making the configuration for the bank system. The bank system is divided in two things: the bank itself and the bank connections, because we want one component to be able to connect to different bank systems, like United States bank system or Argentina bank system or European bank system. So when you explore into the source code here, or into the service, you're going to find Sandbox, which is the bank which has the account, and Nexus, which is a facade to connect to different banks, and the exchange is going to connect to Nexus, and the Nexus is going to connect to every bank system that it can be connected. The only thing that the exchange needs to know about the bank account is the balance and the transaction. Which were the last transactions made for the exchange account? So I think that's not there. There. So as you can see, it's a really lot to do in the configuration, but it's really straightforward. We also have a good documentation of everything, of what this means. Sadly, if I want to give you the impression of what Teller is, I need to do this like without spending too much time. And finally, I think we missed that. But finally, in the end, we are going to made the configuration of the merchant, and we are going to create an instance and a product inside the merchant. After running this script, we are all set. We have made a configuration. You can see it's as easy as configuring, I don't know, an SMTP, a mail server, and a database. You need to read some documentation to know what you are doing. And of course, don't use this script in production, because it's using routes everywhere to make it fast. And you need to take some considerations regarding the key sharing, because the exchange is going to sign the coins with a denomination key, and you need to take care that these keys, these cryptography keys, public key, private key, are well saved in some places, because if an attacker can get those keys, can also print money with your name. So I want to show you one more demo, one more screencast. So I show you how to create a system with Taller. If you want to run an exchange, you can see that script, read it. If you don't understand anything, please write us, because we want to make this easy for you to use it. And then this won't be complete if I don't show you how to use it. Let me stop from the beginning here. This is the demo.tyler.net that you can go right now. And here you see the step. If you have a browser and you want to try it, you can go to the demo. We have a bank here that you can create a fiction account. We have a shop where you can buy essays from paying with Taller. And what I'm going to show you here is that you can install the wallet. In this instruction here, install the wallet from the page. I'm using Firefox there. I'm going to install the extensions, you know, the browser extensions that is the wallet. So we have a lot of different wallets. One is for Android, we are building one from iOS. And what I'm going to show you here is the same functionality in the browser. So here I'm installing the wallet. Okay. And you will see the icon right on the left, upper left. You can click there or press Alt-W and you are going to access the wallet. Now what I'm going to show you is I'm going to the bank to withdraw some coins. I'm typing there bank.tyler. That is the same system that I just ran in with that script. So you have all of this. And I tune it up to create some Libre coins with an FSF bank. So in the script, you are going to see that you have a Bob user, Alice user, the exchange in the bank also. Everything is there with some comments. Hope it's enough. I'm going to go to the Alice account, password 123. And this bank is a special bank because it's made by us. So I can start the withdrawal in many different ways. I can start from the wallet and say, I want to withdraw from this exchange. I want coins from this exchange. And the exchange is going to say, OK, make a wire transfer with this ID so I know that these coins is going to be for you. That's one way to make a withdrawal. But another way that we created in this bank is a bank that has an integration with Taller. So when I'm going to press that button, confirm withdraw, it's going to create a special QR code that you can scan with your mobile device or with your extension to create a withdrawal. It's going to be much easier for the user. So we care about how the user see this and how it interact with the system. So what I wanted to illustrate here is we really appreciate your comments on the way that Taller is built, the way that Taller is going to be used, because this will be important for the user to start using the software. So for example, there I'm going to withdraw 15 coins. When I press confirm, you can scan this QR code with your mobile device. Also, click here in the Taller scheme. We are working on having the Taller scheme in the HTTP spec in the standard. But I'm going to use the web extension. So when I press Alt-W, it's going to pop up the wallet. The wallet is going to find the link. It's going to find the link. And it's going to say, you have a Teller action here. Want to withdraw? When I click here, when I click that button, it's going to say, OK, you are going to, this is a call to action. You are going to withdraw. Please review this, because after this, you will have your coins. Here you will see the withdrawal amount. It can have some fees. The exchange can charge you fees for the withdrawal. There is no fee there. And the exchange has a term of service. I'm going to just not read it. Very long term of services, as always. Jesus. And then withdraw. After the withdrawal operation is done, the wallet has a withdrawal operation, but the bank has not confirmed the interaction to make a withdrawal. So I need to solve that captcha first. I want to show you that my wallet has detected a pending operation. Yes, it is not completed. And when I solve this hard challenge, here the bank confirmed the withdraw the wire transfer to the exchange. Here you see you have 100 Libre coin amount in your account. Then you make a wire transfer with this subject. This subject is what the exchange need to identify why they have this transfer. So after the exchange read this, the exchange is going to query to his or her account, its account, is going to query, say, okay, do I have new balance there? And when they say the new balance, the exchange see this new balance, is going to create the coins for the wallet. Since we want to emulate the bank system with all the delays, we have some delays. Yes, Nexus has a task that asks for a period of time, like a delay to the bank account, because not every bank system has a reverse connection, a push connection. So after that, I have my coins in my wallet. Since I have my coins in my wallet, what I can try is to use the merchant services that I just created. Do you want to make a question I can repeat for the audience online? Are we cool here? So what I'm going to try now is to use these coins. What you are seeing here, we have two things. We have a running merchant backend that you can use, for example, from WooCommerce or from another front-end merchant that you have. And this page is the back office. So the back office is a single page application that talks with the merchant backend, so that lets you create orders. But we don't expect the merchant to use this. We expect the merchant to use, I don't know, maybe WooCommerce or another services that talks with the merchant backend. But as an example, I will create an order that is cost two Libre. And here the same is going to happen. I'm seeing this page. When I open the wallet will read this page. It's going to find this link that is a Teller link, yeah, with a Teller scheme. He said, you have a Teller action in this page. What do you want to do? You want to pay? Okay. This is the page. This is the call to action inside the wallet. I'm inside the wallet web extension, and it let me review the ticket before paying. You see, I have 15. That's my balance. And after paying, you see how fast it is. compared with a credit card. When you have to pay with a credit card, you have to put the number. It's not just like that. You have a whole protocol to talk between the services of the merchant and the user. So it's there. You have it. I have paid my order. I just one more example show you that if I have a product, for example, this merchant back office allows me to create product. I have my inventory of things that I have in the database. I can use this this product to create another more easily. So you see this t-shirt, it costs 2. I'm going to make the price of 5. Expensing, can you get help? I'm going to pay again, and I want to show you one more thing. After paying, you can see the product there. This call to action reads the contracts and show you accordingly in the wallet. You can also use this from the Android. And the merchant can also make a refund if there is, I don't know, maybe a problem in the middle. And this refund is going to give the coins back to the wallet.
Good question. You said that it's fungible, meaning that once you use the token, it cannot be, how can you make the refund the same token?
Very good question. Yes, it's a very good question. There is it's part of the protocol. I said that the coins are fungible, so how can the coins can be, how can the wallet get back the tokens if they are spent? Well, the refund is part of the protocol, so the exchange is going to make the refund. The merchant is going to talk to the exchange, please make a refund, and the exchange is going to give back the coins. Because the exchange in their database know which coin has been spent or not.
So is it the same magic number or is it a different magic number with the same value?
I think it's the same, but I'm not very, very precise. I don't know. I'm going to say I don't know, and let's discuss that in the main list. Very good question. So I'm going to start the refund. It's also a part of the protocol. If I accept this refund, I'm going to see that in my balance. Okay, so that's the end of the screencast. Let's go back to the talk. So that's Tyler. How many seconds? 10 minutes. That's Thaler. That's really useful. It can be used right now. It can be installed. There is this script that you can start running to start using. There is a lot of things that I didn't talk about. For example, the bank system, LibUFIN, Nexus, how to connect to a bank system. There is also a lot of work in the KYC and AML because if you want to run this for real, you want to connect this to a bank system, you need to, there are laws that you need to be aware of. This KYC and AML are very complex, but are very well documented. There is a feature for a backup. The wallet can be connected to a backup server, so you can save your wallet in a service, so you can recover it from that later. If you lost your device, you can recover it with a key. And there is a age restriction feature that is really, really interesting, because if I want to give coins to my kids, for example, if they want to buy something, I want to make sure that they cannot buy, I don't know, beers. This age restriction protocol relies on the contracts of the merchant. If the contract says this, what I'm selling to you is for, adults, the wallet is going to check that. It's going to check and it's going to see the coins that cannot be used with the merchant. And it's going to stop, it's going to say to the user, you cannot use this coin. You have a balance of 10, but 5 are for kids, or you have a balance for 10, but this is not be possible to spend in this contract. And that's nice. That's, one second, that's really, really nice because the kids don't need to show their ID, don't need to show their identification, their name or their age. It's going to see the wallet that it cannot be spent. Just that. Yes, you want to ask a question?
Is the age restriction a feature or requirement that was introduced by this European banking system of law?
Okay.
Cash doesn't have that.
Okay. So the question is the age restriction is a feature that's going to be introduced by law? No. It's a feature that we think that is important because if we want to be used, I don't know, the if I want to give a wallet to my kid, I want to be able not to not to spend money on, for example, beer. And the one who is choosing how to use this, the restriction, is not the exchange, is the user of the wallet. So if we follow a principle, I don't know exactly the name of the principle, but it's the least authority or the closer, the one closer to the one who you want to care. You want to say maybe in better words, or correct me if I'm wrong? Yeah, okay. The one who is closer to the one you want to take care of, I want to take care of my kids, so I want to control that they don't spend money in cash. So the wallet has this feature. It's not part of the exchange. It's not imposed, but exchange. Do you follow me? Is
yeah,
that answer?
I think I do.
Okay.
It's sounding better.
Okay. Wait a minute. So what I wanted to show you here, there is a lot of things that are really interesting that we'll need more time to explain. Also, one thing I wanted to show you is that there is people using this already. There was this hacker party, and they used Tyler to sell beers. And they sold 20% of the drinks in that place. I mean, 20% of the drink they sold it with Tyler. They sold a lot of drink, but 100% of the usage of this was really nice. And this guy told me, we control that in the end, the balance of the bank, and it was pretty fine. I'm not saying that this software doesn't have bugs. We need you to help us to cover all the edge cases. But they made their own point of sales, a web application for a point of sales. And they have the setup script, and there is a link in the presentation, so you can also read. I think it's in German. But if you know German, you can see that. And I think so. No, I don't know if compatible is the word, but can be connected or is.
Because, I mean, being someone in the industry, there is we all have apps on
yeah.
our screens that we use for sales, and those are connected to card readers that then get into either Google Wallet or Apple Wallet or.
Okay. Okay, the question was how, if I am a merchant and I have a point of sales, how I integrate this to start using it with the thing that I have. So what I would love to see is that you run everything in free software, but I know that you have already a device there. So the one who is selling you the device can integrate Tyler with that. But it will require the user to have Tyler coins. It's not like the wallet has, the user has, good, I don't know, another vendor, and it's going to pay with Tyler. I want to close this with calling you for help. If you want to translate, if you want to test the software, if you want to test the UI, you say, I got into here, I don't know how to follow. I think that this can be better. It will be also really, really nice. Also with deployments, I try to install this, I try to using this with this setup because other people can start doing it. You know, the first slide that I wanted to show you is that if we don't do something, someone else is going to do it. We have already payment system, electronic payment systems that are really deploying right now, and your user ID are leaking everywhere, your name, your spend. And the first one who make installation, the first one who do the thing, the first one to strike, is trying harder. You know, and China also has this payment system, the people is going to be scanned with their face and payment with that. So if we let them do things, the fight is going to be harder after that. So I think that's it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being here.
I think we have a few more minutes.
Okay.
There's been some discussion online, and I'm just going to try and summarize some of those questions.
Okay.
So could you just clarify, you've got the bank and the merchant.
Yeah.
Which of those, do any of those know your identity if you buy something through this?
Does any one of those, well, the bank will know your identity because you have an account there. Mm-hmm. And the merchant doesn't because it's going to just show your QR code, pay here, and it's going to see that the pay was made, but you never identify yourself to the merchant.
Okay. Another question is a token something that can exist, like and have it saved on, let's say, a USB thing, and then take it somewhere? And
Yes. A token can be copied. I can give you my tokens, but you need to trust me that I'm not going to spend it before you.
Okay.
I was about to ask, is there currently a Taller app, or do you have plans for one for like UB ports, Ubuntu Touch, like that?
We have application for Android. Right now we are trying to build an iOS application, and we have the web extension that will run in almost every browser.
Okay.
Hey, take this for the question.
So in the presentation, you were saying that there was a user case where it was successful, but it was an immediate sale of drinks.
Yeah.
I see a little inconsistency because if the Taller is necessarily have to tie with the banking system, and the banking system is a digital transfer, an actual bank transfer between the two banks of the different entities that are exchanging, the merchant and the user, then we are behold to the speed of that ACH, the automatic transfer, automatic clearinghouse. And normally in the US, the automatic clearinghouse can take its sweet time confirming the payment.
Okay, but the payment between the merchant and the wallet is instantly. Then the merchant is going to ask the exchange.
Within Taller. But the money is actually exchanged at the speed of whatever the two banks decide to exchange their currency. So
exactly.
There is still a little bit of maybe a clarification has to be done that us with people have concerns regarding transferring of bitcoins, there is going to be a delay, behold, to that.
Of course. And there is a delay, there is a fee in that transaction. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing with Taller is that you can aggregate, the merchant can aggregate a lot of transactions, doesn't need to have all the transactions that the consumer did. So if I have, a lot of sales today, it's going to be one transaction from the exchange to me, and it's going to cost me less because it's just one, it's not a lot of them.
So is the exchange who is holding the liability, or basically the risk, and is going to include that risk and liability within the fee?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Take this. For you.
All right. Sorry, this is going to be the last question.
Okay.
Thank you for everything you do. I think it's an important project. I've been part of organizations that have had their payments cut off by payment processors and so on. So I know it's really important work to do. But it seems to me that the current regulatory environment with the SEC and securities and also the OFAC issue around Tornado Cash, et cetera, using this system would probably expose a U.S. merchant to significant liability if they don't do KYC and AML. And other, you know, cryptocurrencies that use stealth addressing or zero-knowledge proofs, because the token isn't intrinsically tied to the use case of having to cash it out at a bank, you can just hold on to your Monero, right?
Yeah.
So do you see a world where, you know, people hold on to the Libra token and mitigate risk by just having an economy based on that rather than spending it at a bank?
That's a possibility.
And then I guess the second question would be, how is the project mitigating? I mean, it seems like you guys are going to be public enemy number one if this is successful.
I don't have an answer for that, but let's build it together. I mean, that's really nice concern, but I think for now, what we are hoping is that we are competing with another payment system, and this is free software, so that would be just enough to make us do. If we need to be enemy number one, let that be.
Thank you.